but Pat indicated that he would could take off all the employees on the USITA if that's what we would want. He would prefer not to. I kind of agree with him on that. I think one, Evelyn Wright should probably stay on it because of her position. And I think I might be wrong, but I believe Brian Cahill agreed with that also. And I think that would make sense. The board would be then appointed as opposed to, employees being there. And of course, the employees that are there now would still be assets because we do have an MOU with you see that as an MOU with the county to do like financial things and such that they don't really need to have those members as voting members of USITA. I talked about also the idea of increasing the size, but that was not something that they wanted to agree with. They didn't feel that they needed to do that. But they did agree with the idea of employees being, in other words, not necessarily the best thing to have, although having one employee, possibly Evelyn, on there because of her position. Other than that, that's all I can really tell you. I mean, it's a work in progress, but they have made the commitment. Each one of them have made that commitment. John Milgram made the commitment, Pat made the commitment, and so did Evelyn, that, they will be making those changes. But of course, that has to be done by a vote of USITA themselves.
Legislative Bartels?
No, I appreciate hearing from the chair the update, but even the update is a moving target. We want all the employees off, so they're going to agree to all the employees being off, but maybe they want one employee, and maybe the chair and another legislator think there should still be one employee, and this is the problem. I would like to know exactly what the makeup of the board is going to be, not in terms of the names of the people, but the agreement as to what the makeup of the board is going to be prior to moving this property. I also strongly believe that there should be two more legislative appointments. Still gives the majority of appointments to the executive, but that's something we've been talking about since the beginning, and this is the first I'm hearing that there's no agreement on that.
Gary Donaldson, and then...
One of the problems with, changing that is then, you're going to be like nine members. And the other problem lies in that, their point, and they do have a point in that the IDA is made up strictly of legislative appointees. And this is more or less their arm of economic development. And they've also agreed to have another discussion on how we tie in the economic development from all the, the different avenues.
Legislator Cahill.
Thank you very much. My take is really very simple. I think it's important that, we keep, and I'm not hung up on numbers. I'm not hung up on people, where they're from, how they're allocated. But I think it's very important that we keep at least one legislator and one representative from the executive's office on this board. And here's why. I'll give you two examples, the IDA and the RRA. We don't have legislators on those boards that are voting, and it's a problem, right? We don't have control of them, and they're out there doing things that a lot of legislators don't agree with and have fought against what they're doing and try and influence what they do, but we really can't because they're an autonomous board, just like USITA would be. And so my take is that, just think about what we're looking at in the next, year to 3 to 5 years, really, just on that one site. The county's got a big, big responsibility to do this right. And I think we'd kind of be abdicating our responsibility a little bit if we didn't maintain a presence on the USITA board and have our voices heard as a legislature and through the executive branch. Because let's not forget, the executive is elected. He has a responsibility to make sure this is done right. And I believe that, he or his appointee should have some influence on how things go on that site. So for me, I personally feel like, as I stated to a group of you, I don't know if it was in a public or a caucus or whatever it was, but you know, I don't think we throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think we change the bathwater. And I think in this is a perfect example of where, you know, the USITA board that was set up for a specific task when it was set up, but now that task has changed. We now have different goals. We have to iterate through this and get it to a point where it's going to be accomplishing the goals we want without losing sight that we have a responsibility as elected people to do this the right way. And, you know, for that are, you know, really, honestly, those are the only two things that I am adamant about, right? In my opinion, those are things that I think we should keep. We should keep one elected legislator, one elected person from the executive, or not elected, but someone from the executive level of government. It could be the executive, I don't care. But it just, you know, one from each level of government. And then I don't care what happens to the rest of the board. I just think that, you know, we'll do okay if we just, you know, move forward, because this is a huge, huge project. And we're at a tipping point here. And I think this is kind of like a tangential issue to what we're trying to do here. And that's move Enterprise West forward. Thank you,
Chair. Legislator Archer, Walter, Parity, then Rock.
Thank you, Chairman. I agree, we do need to move this forward, but I think that we're at a very critical stage where there's going to be some decisions made. One of the questions that I have, because this keeps getting thrown back at us about the IDA, is they're really structured very differently than USITA. And I would ask our legislative counsel if he could highlight for us the differences. One is a sole proprietorship. That is basically, there is a board, but the board is dictated by the sole proprietor, and the IDA structure is very different. They are not one and the same, and it is not same unless legislative council can tell me differently.
The state council, go ahead.
To Legislator Archer's question, I agree, they are completely different forms of boards. The IDA is a product of state, very strict and stringent state regulations, which guide the memberships, the terms, the way the entire board operates. USITA is a much more flexible entity. There are no restrictions that I've found, and actually Legislative Council and I have both done research on this, that restrict the membership of the USITA board in nearly the same way that the IDA board is restricted, again, by state regulation. So to answer your question, you know, generally speaking, USITA is a flexible entity that certainly could have a change in board structure depending on what the sole member deems appropriate, and the sole member, of course, being the county executive.
I just respond to that real quick, Chairman, because my point was not that the makeup of the board and how it's constructed. My point was that we have no control of what happens on that board after it is constructed. And if we have the ability, as council just said, to have people on that board, then I think we should. And that was my point. Not so much that, you know, how the board is constructed by law or anything like that. But if we have the opportunity to put them on there, we should. That's my opinion.
All right, Legislator Walter.
Thanks. So I guess I'm hearing that several legislators feel like we need to somewhat change the structure of the board, that the executive's office is open to changing somewhat the structure of the board. I guess I wonder why then isn't this being articulated in writing, just like the structure of any board would be articulated in writing? What would it take to just have this documented, this new plan, that it seems like everyone's in agreement would be beneficial? And could we just get that in writing? And then it would satisfy potentially legislators who are concerned about passing this forward until they just see it in writing. I don't understand why, if people are supportive of this idea, why we can't just get this in writing.
So I'll just quickly respond to that. From what I've heard, Legislator Walter, is that there's not a concrete plan as to the makeup. So if somebody's willing to make a motion to, you know, to amend the resolution to add that, that would be one thing. But so far, I don't know that there's a specific plan that I've heard of. That's my only comment. Let me go to Legislator Parity, who's next.
Okay, if I might, Mr. Chairman, alluded about the RRA, Resource Recovery Agency. By law, a legislator cannot be a member of the RRA board because suddenly they would have a vested interest and maybe a political interest in the discussions that and the policies. So by statute, they can't be. Now, the makeup of this, I'm not sure, but I do know there was sort of a structure like this when Golden Hill, and I can just, and I guess I lost you guys. Can you hear me, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, we can.
Because I got no pick. Okay, there you are. I mean, I know with Golden Hill, if I may, sir, there was a huge problem in my family because I had two members of the legislature sitting where you guys are. One voted one way and one voted the other. And in the end, one of them said we should have had a member of the legislature on the board because they could be influenced. Maybe that's a good idea. Maybe that's a bad idea. I can't answer that from my little perch up here. But we want to hope that nobody has a vested interest, even if it's their own reelection.
Legislator
Thank you, Ronk. Mr. Chairman.
Thanks. I apologize. I came in on somewhat of the middle of the conversation, but I heard Legislator Cahill talk about the desire to have one legislator on there. I would just want to, make it clear that I wouldn't support, a scenario where there wasn't one majority and one minority legislator on the board. But I just, I just wanted to make that clear. I also believe that there should be legislators on the board. I think that, two makes sense, one from the majority and one from the minority. I agree that when you make a board too large, meetings become untenable. But I just want to ensure that the minority is, represented.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Legislator Archer, then Bartels.
Yeah, and I agree. I think both majority and majority should be represented. If 9 is too big, then maybe 7, maybe moving it to 5 would be appropriate. I mean, right now what you have is a board of 7. The chair and deputy chair of economic development sit on USEDA, which I think is appropriate. Then you have 3 paid employees and 2 outside individuals, one from the Chamber of Commerce, which makes sense, and another individual who I think has great credentials. The chair has a finance background, and I think she's brought a lot to the table. All I'm saying is that if we're making a decision to move this important piece, that we need better balance on the board and representation. And even if it means if they're willing to go to 9, having majority leader and the minority leader both add an extra person, whether it's another legislator or somebody from the outside with a level of expertise that can add value to the board. That's what I thought we were talking about. Now to hear we're not even entertaining a better balance of the board. There is entertainment around maybe removing 2 of the 3 paid employees. I think that prior to making any decision on this or voting on it, we need to have something in writing that says this is what the makeup of the board will be. And I believe that as the sole proprietor of the LDC, the county exec has the authority. They serve at his pleasure. He can make any changes. And I'm not sure, and I guess I'll put this out to council, if in fact the bylaws of USEDA require that the board has to approve this, or does the sole proprietor have authority to that, the folks on the board serve at his pleasure. So thank you.
Let me go to Legislator Bartels first, and then I'll go to Legislator Council.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I was just going to concur with that. That I'd like to see it in writing. My understanding, and I guess council's going to say in a minute, that you know any changes made to the board, you know, as a vote by the board, would have to be approved by the sole member, which is the executive. So the executive does have ultimate authority, and obviously the executive, we could make an agreement to change, and the executive could change it at a later time. I think, you know, I would have trust in the whatever agreement was reached, but we haven't reached an agreement. Just in the course of this meeting, my understanding of where we were coming in has changed fully. Now we're back to talking about paid employees. And I also just want to add that I agree with Legislator Ronk that if there's a majority member of the legislature, there needs to be a minority member of the legislature. If it were not going to be a member of the legislature, if it was a legislative appointment, I would want it reflected as a minority appointment as well. I think there would need to be balance no matter how we came about those appointments. I would want to see balance with the majority and the minority.
Councilor Ragucci and then Chair Donaldson.
In response to Legislator Archer's question, it would be a motion seconded and then approved by a majority of the UCEDA board to change the bylaws, which would change the makeup.
Thank you.
But can I just ask for a point of clarification? My understanding is that the sole member has to approve any changes of the board.
Right, as a subsequent to the majority vote of the board, yes. Yes, that's correct.
They serve at the pleasure. So if in fact the sole member wanted to change the whole board, the sole member has the authority to do that without a board approval, correct?
Well, I mean, the bylaws dictate the makeup of the board, and I think we probably circulated what the makeup is. That includes, I think it's 5-2, if I'm not mistaken. So the five are obviously appointed by the sole member. So he could replace them, I believe, at his or her discretion.
All right, Chair Donaldson.
There wasn't any discussion about taking the two members off, the two legislative representation. Some people may have gotten confused by that, but no, those two presently the same makeup as it is now, unless we, decided that it would be something better to do. But that wasn't part of the discussion to take those two off. The discussion was over the idea of removing employees and the possibility of increasing the board. And that was part of the discussion, but the removing the employees seemed to be no real problem. They, Pat pointed out, he would prefer to keep like Evelyn on that. He would prefer to have, the deputy county executive on that. And to me, that kind of makes sense. But he wasn't locked into that. And, he just wants to move forward. And I think, we should be able to work this out, pretty quickly. John, you might like to hear from Deputy Executive Milgram on this.
Is there anybody else has anything? Deputy Exec Milgram, do you want to speak?
I've actually been listening, but I think it was fairly clear at the economic development meeting a couple days back what the structure would be and what the determination was. And Legislator Uchitel was part of that discussion. I had a final recommendation from him based on his discussions with a few members, including the chair Cahill. We agreed to that, we committed to that, and in good faith, we're ready to move forward.
Tell me what that is.
Yeah, that the three members who are staff members would be replaced by non-staff members.
Yeah, that's never been my agreement, just so you know. I mean, I agreed with the concept, but I also felt that I agreed with the executive that it made sense, and so did, I think, Legislator Cahill.
All right, Legislative Parity, then Archer, then Rock.
Mr. Chairman, I just might ask, is time of the essence in this particular resolution? Would anybody want to respond to that? Or I'll just go a step further and say, when you want people to make the right decision, you have to make sure there's no conflict of interest, whatever they may be, economically or politically, to be on a board. So I don't know if time is of the essence. I'm a little new to this discussion right now, to be quite frank with you. But I have seen over my lifetime, yes, we're legislators. We appoint somebody to the board to do as we tell them, or to do what they think is the right thing to do. And I'd like to hear that conversation.
So I think the answer to your question, it's subjective legislative parity. It's, you know, how fast we want to get this property sold or off of the county's payroll and get it to something that's productive.
I get it.
The question. So that's a subjective answer, unfortunately. I think Legislator Archer, I said, was next.
Yeah, and being at the economic development meeting, I think that there was still a lot of ambiguity at that meeting, but there was a request to trust that we would get it worked out between now and session. And as I think this conversation highlights, it still isn't worked out. And so I would propose that we postpone it till Tuesday's meeting, and hopefully between now and then we can sort out, at recognizing that there are folks that, you know, are looking for a couple of things. One, removing paid employees as board members with a vote, not to say that they shouldn't be a part of an advisory committee, because I think they're invaluable to what is going to happen there. And I think it's important that they still participate at some level. But from a voting perspective, that's where I think the concern lies, because of the balance issue. And that still may or may not be addressed if in fact we're not reducing or adding to have better balance, understanding that sole member still has the majority control of the board. So I would just put that out there.
All right, so Legislator, before you make that a formal motion, if I can just go to Legislator Ronk for his
comment. Thanks. I just, for clarification, Minority Council took the liberty of sending me this section of the UCITA bylaws on bylaw changes. And it says, these bylaws may be amended, repealed, or adopted by a majority of the entire board of directors of the corporation, for which at least 20 days written notice has been previously given to the member and directors. So it takes a majority, the member can't change the bylaws themselves. It takes a majority vote of the directors and 20 days notice.
Thank you. Legislator Councilor Verducci.
Yeah, and to Legislator Ronk's, Leader Ronk's point, the last sentence I think is also pretty important, in that any provisions here of affecting the rights and powers of the member, they don't take effect without the consent of the member. So that was really to Legislator Archer's initial point, which was, even if it's the majority upon the 20 days notice, the member must consent. And the member, of course, be.
Legislator Archer, was that a formal motion you were going to make to postpone?
Yes, I make a motion to postpone it till next week in hopes that we can resolve these issues before we make a final vote.
Okay, second Bartels. Discussion. Legislator Ronk.
Thank you. I will support the motion to postpone until next Tuesday, but you know, I have every intention of voting for it when it comes back before us next Tuesday.
Thank you. Any other discussion? All those in favor on the postponement until next Tuesday?
Aye. Aye.
Anybody opposed? Legislator Walter, it's hard to see you, but it's just.
Sorry, I'm a favor and I'm raising my hand. I just can't. There.
Okay. Based on this, the what you just said, I think you may be in the parking lot next to Legislator Parity. your signal's cutting out as well. All right. Anybody opposed now? All right. So carries. So postpone to next week. All right. Resolution 131, and I guess we're going to block these 133. they're establishing the capital project for the 2021 guide rail replacement program.
I'll move we block those resolutions together.
Second. Legislator Bartels, discussion. Legislator Archer. You're still on mute, Legislator Archer.
Sorry, thank you. Just a question. Did we not do a lot of the rail work ourselves? I feel like there's a number of services that are being outsourced that we used to do in-house. And I was curious as to, is there some philosophical change around outsourcing versus doing it in-house? It just seems like some of the stuff that we used to do and our DPW used to do is now moving and being outsourced. So I was just wondering if someone from the administration can just give some insight into that.
It looks like Deputy Executive Milgram's the only one here, so if you'd like to answer.
Actually, I'm going to have to defer to Mark, who stepped away for a few.
So. Leader Rock.
Thanks. I mean, without speaking for Mark Ryder, I believe that part of this reason is because the equipment to install the guide rails has changed over the years. And also, we've significantly reduced staffing at the Department of Public Works. So I think that with the reduced staffing and the new equipment, it just makes better sense to contract out for some of this work. I'll let him, if he comes back, but that would be my estimation. I know that we've significantly staffed down the Department of Public Works over the last 5 years.
I think I actually did not actually take the vote for blocking these.
I thought you did, but I'm a yes.
Okay.
Aye.
All right. Any other discussion? All right. All those in favor on the block? Any opposed? So carried. All right. 134 and 136. Get a block on those. Legislator Bartels.
Second.
Bronk. All those in favor on the block?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 137, 139, 140, 141, 42. Looks like all the way down to 47. I get a block.
Looks I'll
like
move it.
Second. Chair Donaldson. All right. All those in favor on the block?
Aye.
Opposed? Any discussion? Legislator Archer.
Okay. In the resolutions here, normally we're getting this new spent to date number, which tells us how much has been spent to date, but what we're not getting is what is being anticipated. And I'm specifically on resolution 144, there seems to be reclamation services that are being identified as indefinite with no up to amount. So I'm just wondering, are we changing something here? This, I don't recall seeing this before. Do we have anybody that can respond to this?
Doesn't look like Deputy Zach Ryder is here.
Well, I can't vote on it until I understand what we're talking about spending. We're being asked to put resolutions through without understanding what we're being asked to spend.
Leader Rock.
Thanks. If it would please Legislator Archer, I'd be fine with postponing the Gorman Brothers resolution until next week, unless Mark comes back before the end of the meeting.
But that whole, I appreciate it, Legislator or Minority Leader Ronk, but all of those in the block have spent to date numbers, but do not have what they're projecting to spend. So that's why I was asking the question. I see.
Yeah, Debbie Zechariah is back.
Sorry about that. I got pulled out.
Thank you.
What was the question?
We just blocked resolutions 137 through 147.
The paving contract.
Right. They all have spent to date numbers, but no projections on what they're spending. And specifically, Resolution 144 has indefinite in the resolution with zero amount as to what they're anticipating. So, you know, I'm just curious as to what's changing. Why are we putting it in, and why we have no numbers in this?
Yeah, I mean, so for the bulk of these contracts, these are contracts that we don't know which work we're doing until the winter hits and is over, and we can see the damage that's been done to these roads and which process will need to happen. We set aside in the budget a set amount of money that we're going to spend on road projects, and we can't go over that, but that's why we do rates over 50,000 in each of these, you know, standalone contracts, because hot in place recycling may work for this road, these potholes, these problems, but the other types of paving services may be what we need to use for others. So we really don't, we provide, you know, there, I believe 3-year contracts we're amending for some of these. So that's why they provide what's been spent to date, meaning last year, others. But a lot of these, we just don't know, but we need to get them in place because the construction season is short.
So what is the total number? I mean, we don't even have a total number. We're, you know, we don't even know what we're saying yes to. I get that you're trying to anticipate and get ahead of the season, and you're talking about how quickly can they turn around and analyze what roads need to be done when. I guess it all depends on when the weather breaks. So we're being asked to get these all teed up and ready to go, but we have no frame of reference as to what the up to number is.
It's what is budgeted lines in the budget. So
we don't get line items. We don't get line items on these, Mark.
Not on these contracts, but I can pull it up. I can, if you want to hold these over a week to get, you know, the budget lines that these are attached to. We can't outspend the budget that you approved last year. So, if you want to know the exact lines that these are going to, or the capital projects these are going to, this is something we talked about at the chair's meeting, that we can provide in the future where this county funding is coming from, whether it's a capital project or whether it's an operations line. But that didn't happen this month for these contracts. It's something that I've worked with the county attorney's office to do going forward. But I mean, I think the highlight is that we can't overspend the money that you've approved in either a capital project or an operating budget. We don't move money back and forth between operating and capital.
So if we can hold this over till next week, and then you can just provide us so that we can foot back to where this is coming from, that could be helpful.
Is that a motion, Legislator Archer?
I'll make the motion.
Second. Okay. Second, Legislator.
Thank you.
Rock. All those in favor of the postponement till next Tuesday?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Thank you.
All right, Resolution 148, approving the execution of a contract amendment in $20,000, causing the aggregate to be in excess of $50,000 for Alamore Inc. Testmaster Services. Motion?
Moved.
Mayor Ronk, second. Second, somebody?
Second.
Legislator Bartels. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 149, approving the execution of a contract amendment 3500 entered into the county for Gentech Limited.
I'll move it.
Second.
Other Chair Archer. Any discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Resolution 150, approving the execution of a contract $59,800 entered the county for Northeastern HVACR Corp.
God bless you.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I apologize.
I'll take that as your motion, Legislative Parity.
Second. Yeah, you got it. Thank you for being late on the whole
thing. You're wrong. A discussion? Legislative Bartels.
Is this, are we on 150 now? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah. So I'm just, again, I want to get some clarity on this. We just had a long discussion about transferring the property as a surplus to USITA, and yet we're being asked to use county funds to connect 24 waste lines on the second floor bathrooms to the first floor waistline. I'm assuming the bathrooms are currently not in operation since the building was mothballed. And given that we don't know what's going to happen to the building and what the next step is, whether or not there's going to be a total internal demolition or a building demolition, I mean, there's many options on the table. I don't know why we're going to be spending money right now, county money, on connecting waistlines from the second floor to the first floor.
Other discussion? I'll just say that I've been in touch with Tim and it's like Leo Maneri, and I still don't have all the answers that I have asked my questions on, so I'm not comfortable voting on this tonight still. The picture that was sent to me, this sounded like it was a entire waistline. The pictures that were sent to me were a single piece of pipe that couldn't be more than a foot long. That was leaking. It's not an entire sewer line. So I'm going to reach out tomorrow to get further clarification, but it sounds like this is not an entire floor that I originally made it sound like. But Legislator Archer.
Thank you, Chair. You know, we've got another resolution in here that basically says all the improvements to the building and to separate it and to make it sure it was standalone have been done. And now we're being asked, I mean, once again, to spend money on something we've already identified as surplus. So if we're surplusing it, why do we need to spend the money? Let it be surplus, let the LDC decide. And then if they need to do anything based on whatever decisions they all make, let them take care of it. I'm not sure why we're asking the taxpayers to do this.
Let's say Walter.
Thanks, and thanks for bearing with me on my drive. So I guess, and I brought this up at the chair's meeting, I was confused about where the 2021 budget to postpone to any more funding and tax City until 2022. I think I was told that it's residual money from 2020. I'm not sure if that's accurate. So before, can I have a two-part statement? Can John or Mark confirm where that money's coming from?
I'm happy to. Capital projects carry over from year to year. So the work that was done in the capital project that you approved in November of 2020 for the, I think it was a $350,000 capital project. You approved that to get the temporary CFO. This is part of that work. It's the only contract there that was part of that work that exceeded $50,000. So it's the only contract that we've brought to you, but it's the last piece and will be complete prior to the building being actually surplus. You may vote to surplus before that is complete, but that transaction takes a little bit of time, and this work will be completed prior to the property going over to USITA if you choose to do that. It's work that needs to be done. Safety is not going to allow people in a building where there's a sewer line that's not properly working, and you can possibly get sewage from the second floor to the first floor.
Okay, so I'll just finish. Thank you for that clarification. So I am a little confused because when our tour of what it would need in order to be able to move forward with it, this wasn't included. I don't know if it was just something that nobody realized and it showed up later. I'm also just, I understand when capital projects carry over year to year, when those capital projects are inclusive of a following year, but I guess I, and this is, you know, I'm only my year and a half in or whatever, but if we actually stop the funding for something, I mean, any project that was approved in 2020 that didn't ever, like if a bridge never got completed in say 1999, would you have the freedom to just say we never spent that money in 1999, we're going to spend it now? Or I guess I just, I'm not quite clear where the parameters are, where especially in a capital project that we've decided should no longer be should not be funded during this particular year, whether that carryover concept is still applicable. And I'm not, I don't know if you know the answer, if it takes someone else sort of looking at that, but it just sort of, it sounds a little, I would like some more clarity on that.
Capital plan is that it's a plan. And when you have a capital project, so what you approved and what we moved money for from 21 to 22 was the capital plan, right? So the capital plan lays out a five-year capital plan. And we had, you have money in prior years. You have money that's anticipated being spent in 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. We moved the money that was approved in prior years, right? That's approved in prior years, and that was approved in 2020. So this $350,000 was for the 2021 to 2026 capital plan, would have been in the prior years. On the request of Legislator Archer, there was money spent to be spent in 2021 that would have had to be a project that was separate, amending the project. We took that out and pushed it to 2022 because she pointed out that if we surplus, we're not going to do the work. And we said, yeah, that makes sense. And we pushed the 2021 money to 2022. But that doesn't mean that the prior year's money that was approved in 2020 goes away. We can still continue to work. It would have been impossible for us to get the 2020 capital project that was approved done in that month or two to finish the year.
Legislator Parody.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, practically speaking, the most efficient way to surplus anything, let alone real estate, is to bring it up to code or to bring it up to usefulness. Unless there's something horribly deficient about what we're talking about, I think it's time to move forward.
Any other discussion? All right, all those in favor?
I am. Opposed?
Chair Donaldson, opposed? One, two. There's three opposed. Motion carried. Under old business, I don't know if Legislator Walter is still there. Under old business, we have resolution number 7. We had wanted to postpone it. Can I, Legislator Biedronk?
I was going to just make a motion that we postpone this.
Yeah. Thank you. Second on that?
To the next meeting.
Bartels. Yeah, Legislator Bartels. All those in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Motion for adjournment?
Moved.
Second, Bartels. All in favor?
Aye.
Hi, everybody. Thank you.